saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him just one more time to see. All I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me." She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall. But Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall? Lord, could you tell him he's more than a name on a wall?"
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done is gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, "Get off of my back"? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
And here we are. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is the 30th, the last day of September, and it's a Tuesday. And we've got a number of things going on here that we need to take care of. So I hope you all had a, well, I was going to say I hope you had a good weekend. I was supposed to say that yesterday. Let's see who all we got in here tonight. We have Smoky Mountain Prepper. I'm glad to see you in here again. I don't know where you've been or where you came from or who you are, but I'm glad to see you in here anyway. Let me see. Let me check here. CassieCat88. I don't know if I know you. Glad you're in here anyway. And Texas Sheepdog. It's been a while since you've been in. Frizen. Don't think I know you either. There's a couple of anonymous in there. And some regulars. So, all right, sounds good.
Well, back now to the gun law that passed Tennessee Senate today.
Wait a minute,
wait a minute. The proposed law could mean sweeping changes for
gun ownership
rules. Under the bill, any resident of Tennessee allowed to own a handgun could carry it openly in public without a permit. Now, the bill would also get rid of background checks and gun safety training.
All right, there we go. I got rid of it, I think. Okay, the I guess you heard they found the realtor out there. I talked to you last night about the dangers that realtors go through, and I hadn't realized how dangerous that really was till a company asked me to do a security seminar type thing for there was a bank actually, and no, I mean sorry, it was a who in the heck was it? I think it was Dimmick Realty in Farmington, New Mexico, I believe. And didn't realize how dangerous it was. And then you find out this guy, the only reason he took her out, killed her, said she was a rich broker. And guy was out on parole. It was a bad deal. Didn't understand all I knew about it. But all right, there's a pitiful little story in here. This is one that Amy and I talked about quite a bit today. And there's a guy here, a man and his wife, that had six kids, evidently. One of them was 9 years old and weighed 17 pounds, 16.9 pounds. And I don't even know what to say here. They found the baby locked in a room by the parents. No bed, no light, no air conditioning. Feces all over the floor and the walls. And they got a picture of the room that he was in. One of the other kids had, let's see. So this kid weighed only 11 pounds more when he died than he did when he was born. They said another child that had disabilities was near death and rushed to the hospital, and all five of the couple's remaining children are in custody by the county. Now, Amy and I are trying to figure out why. Well, I think I figured out this one had a developmental disorder called Fragile X. But the coroner still determined that he had died of starvation and dehydration. It had nothing to do with his disorder. So I'm assuming, and the other one had a disabilities too. So it sounds to me that the two with disabilities were shunned, and they just locked them in and just expected them to die. And the funny thing about this is that the family receives almost $3,200 a month. $3,200 in welfare that included $351 a month in food stamps. There's no reason whatsoever. Most people, I mean, barring your, you know, if you're living above your means, I mean, anybody can get by on $3,200 a month. You may have to change your lifestyle a little bit and not live quite as nice as you do, but anybody can get by on that. There's no reason at all to let this kid starve to death. I told Amy, she asked me what kind of person does. I said, I don't know. I don't have any idea how, you know, what makes these people tick. I said, they have no conscience or soul, no values. I couldn't let anything starved to death.
I don't care. My worst enemy, I wouldn't let them starve to death. I mean, that's, you know, I'd have to pitch them an apple core or something once in a while, but you know, I wouldn't let a rattlesnake starve to death. I won't have any problem killing them, but I wouldn't let anything starve to death. If it just floors me that they, 9 years old, weighed 17 pounds. This baby had to have been, well, I say baby. The only reason I say baby because it weighed 17 pounds. He's 9 years old. But 17 pounds. You could pick up this 9 year old and set him in the palm of your hand and hold him up there. I don't know. Drive. Yeah, we have a. How old is Cooper? Yeah, we got a 2 year old grandson that weighs over 30 pounds. 2 years old, weighs over 30 pounds. This is 9 years old, weighed 17 pounds, 16.9 pounds. Unbelievable. Well, you guys remember the story. We talked about this. I don't remember the date exactly. It was a couple of years ago. It might have even been while we were in Luna. Let's see if there's a date in here. But you remember when the there was a homeless camper over around Albuquerque, and Albuquerque PD, who gets in enough trouble for shooting people anyway. I can't see what the date was, but anyway, this is most recent here, and they discovered some more a dash cam video that they somehow had overlooked, misplaced, or somebody had hidden or something. But the conversation between these two cops had, this was just before they shot him. The guy's name was James Boyd. You ought to remember this. We talked about it quite a bit back in the, when it happened. But during the conversation, it says that the one cop, Keith Sandy, was heard discussing the his desire to shoot the homeless camper, Boyd. And he kept referring to him as an effing lunatic. And he said that he had planned to shoot him in the wee-wee with his shotgun. He said, for this effing lunatic, I'm going to shoot him in the wee-wee with a shotgun here in a second. So that's completely premeditated. He's already told him what he's going to do. He don't know that he's going to be under attack. He don't know that there's going to be a threat. He just knows that he's going to somehow thinks it's going to be fun in some way to shoot this guy in down there. So 2 hours later, he did just that and killed him in the process. Now, what actually happened, he's escalating the situation when he got there so that he could do that. And he said the lawyer said it's chilling evidence and stunning that he has not been criminally indicted. It's crystal clear, and he says it with contempt in his voice. He claimed that the comment was never made, even though it's on video. He said it was nothing more than what they call locker room banter. And he attempted to belittle the incident by arguing with the officers regularly, that the officers regularly made crude and cruel jokes, so much that a group of officers had to create a safe word to signal when inappropriate jokes had gone too far. You know, I guess in a way I could see that with a little bit. With soldiers in the field, there's really not a good time that anybody should be joking about killing somebody. As when you get to a point where you hate the people that you're killing, then you're losing the battle. As far as I'm concerned, there's somewhere in between. There is I think the moral high ground. We have to take the moral high ground when we're doing stuff like this and making jokes about it. I don't think is ever appropriate. I did not approve of the soldiers that were caught on film urinating on dead Taliban. Yeah, they're pitiful, they're pathetic, they're sorry, but how infantile is it that you go up there and pee on them when you get done? It's just stupid to me. It's just ridiculous. There's other things that are much more pressing and mature, I think. Now, I understand that, you know, the stress and all that. Yeah, I get that. But I still didn't approve of it. But he said, what's so mortifying about this shooting, and thank goodness we have a tape to show exactly what he did, which instead of shooting him in the penis, he shoots him in the lower back. He said that right as he shot, he turned right at that moment to set down his bag. So if he hadn't have turned, that's exactly where he would have shot him. And he's on administrative leave today, but he's still got his gun, still got his badge. And there was in outrage, they say, from all over the world this year. And is continuing to fuel this debate that we talk about all the time, the appropriate or inappropriate, as it were, uses of force by law enforcement. And this guy, if this isn't clearly first degree premeditated murder, I don't know what it could be. But anyway, I guess I see that many has got this. I know everybody has seen this today, that we have. I was actually sent a secure message quite a bit before it came out on the news, and about this patient that come into Dallas with Ebola. And then 4 or 5 hours after I had received it, then it was all over the news, so it was not a secret anymore. When I got it, it was still semi secret, I guess. And the let me find that. I've saved that in just a second here, and I will tell you as I was told. And let's see, got called by a friend there, told me it was just a confirmation, a totally different source. Hospital and the CDC are telling people to keep their mouth shut. CDC right now is feeding disinformation or misinformation. And that was the problem they had when it was on TV, of trying to get this news out and figure out what kind of story they were going to tell while they were doing it. So I'm sure that the people in Dallas are not terribly excited about this, as they shouldn't be. They said that in Sierra Leone, that there's 1.2 million confirmed cases of this. Now, I don't know if that's true. That's, you know, it's out on the internet, so it's bound to be. But that's what I saw this morning. So, it's not looking good, however you want to play it there. Did you guys, I think we talked, I saw somebody put this in the chat room yesterday. This is astonishing to me, and that is the fact that KFC has banned they've quit providing alcohol based hand wipes, because alcohol is banned in Islam, that they've quit having these out there so that it may offend other eaters, which would be Muslim eaters, Muslim customers, Muslim diners. If they wanted to be accommodating to these people, why don't they just have another box of them that says, if you don't like the alcohol ones here, use these. They got spit in them or something, or just plain water or whatever. Goat urine, make them feel at home. That would be perfect. But no, they've got to take the alcohol-based wipes away from all of us, because they might offend somebody. So, and Doc, you know, I'm for that. I thought about that tonight. I took Amy out to a Chinese place to eat, and we drove by KFC, and I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, that's just, I can't in good conscience do business with them if they're going to do that. That just, they are, the people here in Sholo, I'm sure, think that it's as silly as everybody else, but nevertheless, if that is a corporate decision, then here in Sholo, they're still going to have to get rid of them. So I am, I hate to say it, I love KFC, especially this one here. They've got a buffet-type deal there. You don't have to order everything you can, but you can go through that buffet. It's really nice. But I think I'm going to have to say no. You know, we've already pretty well banned some other eating places around here, and we're getting, I'm wondering if it's going to get to a point where we're going to be forced to do without, to live. We're going to have to either swallow our pride and set our principles aside, or we're going to have to do without a whole lot of stuff. Because right now, either somebody, they're anti-gun, they are accommodating to Muslims, they are accommodating to Michelle Obama. There's, you know, so many different things that a lot of us don't care for. And we talked about Jan Morgan's shooting range last night, declaring it a Muslim-free zone. And believe you me, she is going to catch hell over that. And I was surprised that she would do such a thing. But you know, I'm behind her 100%. I think it's a good thing. Doc's got a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a very good point right there. That if Ebola ever gets started in this country and gets a foothold, then if you eat fast food, you'd have to be nuts. Because you never know. You have several people through the whole process handling your food. And I think that fast food is going to be it's going to start being a thing of the past. And if they start, they may, if the word gets out, and a lot of people are not going to think about that. A lot of people are going to just go right on just like nothing had ever happened. So if word gets out and that is suggested and people take that suggestion, then yeah, I see a bunch of these fast food places, KFC and McDonald's and Burger King and all these closing down. Now we have already banned or are boycotting, not banned, but are boycotting Burger King and Subway and McDonald's. Is McDonald's, not only does their food suck and is not healthy for you, but if they go ahead and go through with this deal, and I, from what I hear, I haven't been keeping up with it, so somebody correct me there if you know the truth to this, but the last I heard, the 1st of October is when they were entertaining notions of doing the $15 minimum wage thing. So I don't know if that is actually going to become a reality or not. I'm going to find out here right quick and see if it is, because if it is, well, I don't go there anyway. I mean, I go in there and get a Coke once in a while, but I don't eat the nasty crap in here. Let's see here what comes up here, and we'll find out real quick. Huffington Post says we will support, or the it says that the McDonald's CEO says we will support a wage hike. Let's see what it says about it. McDonald's might finally have figured out that paying low wage workers more would actually be a good thing. I've got a story to go along with this here too in a minute, but I was going to let Amy do it, but she's not going to be doing it, so. Let's see, McDonald's CEO, oh, stop it, recently suggested his company would support a bill proposed by Obama raising the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour from $7.25. Such a wage hike likely won't satisfy his workers. Headquarters demanding $15 an hour, but it would be a noticeable shift. we'll see what happens. I don't know when exactly this is supposed to take place, but I haven't been keeping up with it at all. I just knew that there was something going on with it. But if I did see that they were having some robots there, some pretty neat deals where you go up and take your order, and this thing takes care of most of it for you. So that's going to be eliminating some jobs. And I very much hope that they get their minimum wage hike. I hope that does go to $15 an hour. And when people have to start paying $10 for a hamburger, I hope that people will start understanding the idiocy of this. It would be hard to imagine that as big as McDonald's is, as much many billions of dollars as they have, that it would actually put any of them out of business. But I'm going to be kind of curious to see how this plays out here. The doc is, I think Doc's pretty knowledgeable about this stuff. He says Ebola has the potential to drop kick the entire U.S. economy. I'm afraid you're probably right. I hate to think of it as that, but you know, there's. I keep saying I'm going to find that one story for you, and this could be the beginning of a very scary story of a vision, a kind of a sort of an out of body experience thing that an elder of the church had one time. And he tells a very, very descriptive, very terrifying story of what he saw in the United States future. And it very much follows right along with this Ebola stuff. And so it's kind of a scary thing here. We'll find out what goes on here in the very near future. This is not going to move slow. We're not going to be waiting months and months to find out what's going to happen here. It's going to be happening here in a few weeks, and I'm not excited about seeing what happens here. I think that every time now, the people are going to be forced to kind of hole up. You're not going to want to fly and get around a bunch of people. You're not going to want to go to Walmart and get around a bunch of people, or any shopping place and grocery stores and whatnot. You're not going to want to eat out, for sure. Not only fast food places. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it's all restaurants. If you have people handling food, period, then I don't care whether it's Applebee's or Pizza Hut or McDonald's or Burger King. I think eating out, period, is going to become too dangerous to do. So anyway, well, let me. Go in here and let me throw something in here for a bit of a break. See if I can change the tone here just a little bit. Let's see here. All right. That's enough. I'll be back in a few minutes. I will be back in a few minutes.
And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world on my
mind. Here we go now.
Stand up and salute while we play the Redneck National Anthem.
Redneck, don't give a darn, a redneck. Raised on a farm, I'm a redneck.
doing my thing, redneck.
It's a redneck country cowboy state of mind.
Sounds like it sucks. He can't even bait a hook. He can't even skin a buck. He don't know who Jack Daniels is. Ain't ever drove a truck.
She's her daddy's girl. That's what you get, ain't it, son? They all run along and have some fun. I'll see you when you get back, then I'll be up all night, still cleaning this gun.
Yeah, a whole lot of American pride, just a little on the redneck side.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here at the golf course for a rare one-on-one interview with President Barack Obama and his lovely, his wife. Mr. Obama, what made you think you were presidential material?
Oh, I'm bad. Amazing wife.
I see. And now that you've been in office for a while, what do you think of it? I'll bet.
Oh, here comes his wife. Looks like she's trying to make another fashion statement. Mrs. Obama, what is that you're wearing?
My coat of many colors that my mama made for me.
Mr. Obama, can you name even one of the things that you promised during your race?
I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business.
Yes, sir, that's a good one. Anything else?
But I can promise you this. I will always tell you what I think. I will always tell you where I stand. I will be honest with you about the challenges we face as a country.
Because of that and others, there are many that say,
talk too much. Talk too much. I can't believe the things you say.
And what about what you said concerning the war in Iraq?
I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, it is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war.
You bet your sweet pippy you will, you communist freak.
Mr. Obama, there's been a lot of controversy about your refusal to produce a legitimate birth certificate. What do you remember of your family as you grew up? I see. Well, that could explain it. In a word, how would you describe your lineage? And I suppose that other children teased you while growing up because of this. What were some of the things that they said?
Who's your daddy?
As president, you do a lot of traveling. Can you tell us just how many states you've actually visited now?
I've now been in 57 states.
Well, okay. Aside from your obvious lack of geographical skills, they say that your literary skills have been demonstrated as you've spoken to our troops around the country.
I'm reminded every day of my life, if not by events, then by my wife, that I'm not a perfect man.
In one speech, you addressed our fighting men and women in the Army, Marines, and in particular the,
Navy Corpsmen. Navy Corpsmen.
Yeah, that one. You probably know by now what the people really want to hear from you.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Yep, that's the one we've been waiting for.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Here, Queso's saying he's having to jump back and forth from player to player. I don't know why we're having sound issues. I don't know if that is... Everything seems to be running very smoothly and uninterrupted here, so I don't think it's on my end, but if very many of you have this problem, then I'm going to have to assume that it is. But anyway, we'll hang out here as long as we can. If it gets too bad, well, we'll just pull the plug on it and go do something else. All right, let's go look here. There's a... hang on a minute. Let me get my other deal up here. But here it is. There's a gal in Florida, a mom, who was Orange County, Florida. Her and her son, Holler, she had grabbed her XD, a 9mm XD subcompact from her nightstand, and went. And we're seeing more and more of these. Lots of grandmas and mothers and wives and stuff that are... taking care of business. There's a lot more people are getting trained, getting concealed carry permits, and not putting up with this stuff, standing up. But she held a would-be robber at gunpoint here, and he was asleep when her son took the trash out of the curb, and he saw the intruder, and the boy hollered to her mother that someone was breaking in. Luckily, she evidently was a light sleeper or whatever, and she got her XD that was in the nightstand since she bought it 5 years ago. She said, "I've never even touched it before last night." Wow. But luckily it worked for her. Or it worked, you know, that she got a hold of it and knew how to handle it. But she heard the son holler at him, grabbed the gun, stormed out of the house, and she said she woke up frantic. First thing I thought of was to grab my gun, which is... evidently, she's been thinking about this a little bit or something. Ordinarily, he's been in there 5 years and haven't touched it. You know, she must talk about it or think about it or something to have even had the presence of mind to open up the nightstand and get it out. But she grabbed the gun and had on her mind to defend her home and her kid, and that's just what she went out there to do. He said, when you come in a fenced yard, private property that's fenced in, you jump the fence and you're at the back door. Far as she's concerned, she says her intentions are no good. So she was outside, saw the intruder run and hide behind the shed in her backyard. She ordered him to come out with his hands up. And I guess the boy wasn't a young boy. Said as soon as he started to come outside, the son tackled him from behind and held him to the ground. And he was unarmed, but the police did find a roll of duct tape on him, so they arrested him for a roll of duct tape again. So anyway, I thought that was cool. I was seeing lots more stories like that. I put a deal in the chat room there a while ago, something off of my blog that I don't know how many of you have seen. I modified it just a little bit. It's an old one. It was, I don't remember when I wrote it to start with, but I modified it a little bit. And I modified it a little bit to kind of be more appropriate for this day. It seems like I wrote it. Well, I know exactly when I wrote it. It was right after Sandy Hook. So, but I changed it around just a little bit because there's some things in there that I wanted to get out right now. So, if you guys have a little time, you might want to read that and check on it. I think we told you this already, but I'm going to put it in there again. Remember, the Forest Service had decided they were going to charge people immense amounts of money here to to take pictures on Forest Service land. Well, they've backed off that, changed their policy. I think I already told you, but I just want to make sure that you were aware of that. Now, we talked about a minute ago about tips and whatnot. Told you I had a story about that. Well, there's a couple had gone into a restaurant here. I'll get the name of it for you here in just a second. They went in there and said that the service was horrible. And luckily they were open. And this is, we could maybe learn a lot from this couple, all of us, especially me. That they were from Iowa. And they had also been in the food serving business for some time. And they went into this place. It was, let's see, they had the name of the place here. It was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Anyhow, they went in there and said this, the service was horrible. And they got to looking around. And she said, yeah, it was pretty bad. But it was obvious that the issue was being short-staffed, not the server. He was running around like a crazy man and never acted annoyed with any table. At one point, we counted he had 12 tables plus the bar. How in the hell would you keep up with that? More than any one person could handle, they said. As I sat there and watched him run back and forth and apologize to the wait, I said to Stephen, wow, this used to be us, waiting tables. I don't miss it at all, and I never loved that job. I did it for the tips. So Stephen and I agreed it would feel good to make this guy's night when he would probably be getting minimal to no tips because of slow service. So they've got a screenshot, not a screenshot, but a picture of the tip of the ticket here. And I'm going to see if I can get that and put it in there. If not, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you what's on it. But, yeah, by golly, I think I can. Let's try it and see. See if I can stick this in the chat room for you. But they were watching him run around there, and they decided, I'm going to try this one time. I'm going to subtract a bunch of stuff off of this and take the S off of that. And see if this turns out to be a JPEG image. I can't see it on my end. Let me know if you guys can see it. But anyway, let me go on with the story here. They tipped this guy $100. The bill for their dinner, and must be a pretty nice place for only two of them. There's $66.65. But they wrote in there a $100 tip and a total of $166.65. And she wrote on there, one of them did, we've both been in your shoes, paying it forward, with a little smiley face. And I thought that was an awesome gesture for someone to do that. But these people need to think, you know, look around you and see what the circumstances are before you start griping too much. And I'll tell you, I am the world's worst. I am guilty of that often. I am impatient sometimes. Other times I've got the patience of Job. But and when it comes to service and stuff like that, a lot of times I'm not as patient as I should be. And I don't know what all is going on. And I think that we could all learn a little bit from this. It would be tough for me to leave anybody a $100 tip right now, but to look around and see how busy somebody is, or maybe they're having some other issues, physical issues, disabilities of some kind, not able to do as well. Just because you didn't get your eggs just exactly piping hot and the way you like them, make sure that it was the server's fault that your stuff is not right before you fault them for it and cut them short on their tip. But they left him $100. The TV station WHO said that she posted the picture as a reminder, in Facebook, I think of the entire situation. Well, she says to think of the entire situation before you judge. Always remember where you came from. And at the time that they put this up there, I don't know exactly. See, well, it was put up September 27th at 5:30 p.m. And as we're looking at it right now, whenever this story was posted, it had 1.5 million likes, 1,438 comments, and almost 200,000 shares. So these people, with their one act of generosity and kindness here, they have touched a lot of people. A lot of people have seen this, and hopefully some of them will act on it. What do you do if the food server is obviously ill? Well, that's, I guess it depends on what kind of ill they are. If it's something that you looks or could be, or you suspect may be contagious or something, then you know, you'll have to act on that however you see best, whether it would be everybody's getting an error message on that deal, so I don't know. Let's see here. Yep, I did too. Well, anyway, all it was a picture of a receipt. It had $66.65 and $100 receipt there. So the I'm sorry that wasn't too helpful, Minnie. I don't know what else to tell you. That's something you'll have to decide for yourself if it's something that you know looks like maybe hazardous to your health. Then you're gonna have to tell the manager, get up and leave, or grin and bear it and drink your colloidal silver. That's probably the best thing. That's something else that we probably ought to touch on here just a second. I am sure that some of you in the chat room right now, and some of you that may be listening to this later in the archives or the podcast, are not taking colloidal silver. Folks, I have gone through in excruciating detail probably 100 times from the time that I started doing AM radio back in whenever it was, 2005, 2006, trying to get people to understand the benefits and the efficiency and the good that colloidal silver can do you. And if you're still not doing it, even with this Ebola threat and all this other stuff that's going on, I don't know what to tell you. I hate to be rude, but you know, I haven't got a whole lot of sympathy when you've got this absolutely astonishingly amazing product that you can make yourself cheap. And if you're not doing it by now, and you wind up, I hear people, you have got the flu, or I'm getting laid up, been sick, got coughing, whatever. You know, it is awfully, awfully rare if you're taking properly made colloidal silver regularly, like daily, it is exceedingly rare that you will get anything that is that will keep you down more than a day or so. I mean, it's exceedingly rare for us even to get the sniffles around here. I mean, we do last for, 36 hours or something. But we have gone through this time and time and time again where everybody in town is down, and they're still 10 bucks to tinker. And actually, we've got some little bit heavier ones right now, and they're still the same price. But when everybody in town is down with, missing work, in the emergency rooms full, and peep kids out of school and all that, and my kids, unfortunately, they never get to miss school for reasons like that. They just get the sniffles a little bit. We double up on their colloidal silver, and it's all fixed. They don't even get to miss school for pink eye. They've had them come home with pink eye 3 or 4 or 5 times. And to put a few few drops of silver in their eyes when they go to bed, wake them up in the middle of the night and do it again. And they get up in the morning, it's all gone, go to school. They don't even get to miss school for pink eye. It's the 007, I don't know if that is exactly right or not, but I do know that it does have a lot of vitamin C and some other vitamins and stuff that are exceedingly good for you. And I eat a lot of that, too, all the time. We've got jalapenos and green chili. We've got a freezer full of green chili out there that we eat regularly. Oh, Drum Jaw, yeah, I'm glad that got there safe and sound. That's a small token there for you. I hope you enjoy it. But Smoky Mountain, I don't know what which supplement you're talking about. You don't trust supplements, no regulation on them. I don't know if you're talking about, I don't trust supplements that are in the stores that do have the regulation on them. That's what I'm worried about. But the stuff that we make is, we make our own silver, and we have given the plans and stuff to build the generators and stuff yourselves. We've sold hundreds of those generators. We've still got some for sale, but I've also got the plans on a website out there for you to build it yourself. I just want you to take it. I don't care. I don't give a damn where you get the stuff to do it. I just want you to take it. Queso, that's right. I don't either. I don't trust the supplements to be what the stores say they are. That's a I've seen so many, and I just don't even think about it anymore. I know there's a lot of good stuff out there. I know that elderberry is good, and Melaleuca has some products that are good. There's a lot of essential oils. I get all that. I understand it, and I do believe that that is true. However, I have not found anything that is any more effective than colloidal silver, and I have not found anything as cheap as colloidal silver. So queso, you don't buy it, son. You make it. It is horribly expensive to buy. You can go out, you'll spend $40 on a 4-ounce bottle of the stuff, and you can make it for $1 a gallon. It's easy to make, it's safe, and it's, let me type that in the chat room here for you. It's not really a website. I guess it's a forum, I guess you would call it. You're going to go to http://theshootingbench.uku.com. Make sure I got all that spelled right. http://theshootingbench.uku.com. All right, you're going to scroll down to survival medicine, and then look in survival medicine, and you'll find a little thing there that says colloidal silver. If you have any questions, you have any concerns, you have any problems whatsoever, you get a hold of me, and I will steer you in the right direction. But there is a booklet there. We sell that booklet with our generators, but it is all there free for you to copy and use. So there you go. There's the website, and you scroll down to Survival Medicine Colloidal Silver. No, there's not even any such thing as 99.9999999999% pure silver. It's either 99.9 or 99.99. That's all there is. But it is anything any more pure than 99.9 is unnecessarily expensive and unnecessary, period. 99.9 is more than adequate, and there's no benefit whatsoever no benefit whatsoever in going any more pure than that. There are people that will argue with that. Let me see. The link won't load. What do you mean the link won't load? Let's check that out and see. Bad request. All right. The shooting bench. Okay. I see what's... when I typed that, when I clicked on that, when I clicked on it on mine, it had Youku dot and didn't put the com in there. So all I did was put the com in after the dot Youku, and now it's up there. And I'll tell you what I can do. I will scroll down. I'll make this so easy for you that you won't even believe it. I'm just going to go get the link right to the page itself here, and I'll put that in the chat room for you, and you can click on that, and I'll just make this ever so easy. All right, there you go. That's as good as you can get right there, buddy. Oh, I see what happened. Somehow I put a space up there after the dot, after the period on Youku. That's why it didn't show up. So, anyway. But you can click on that other link I got. It'll take you right to that thread. Everything, every question that you ever had, any concern that you can imagine. I've done a lot of research on this. I've typed up a ton of stuff on there. That booklet is like 30 pages long that we give to people with their silver generators. So there's nothing that we sell that you can't get on that website except the strips of silver itself, and you're certainly free to go get them yourself wherever you want to. There probably won't be any cheaper than what we can send you. But if you get it yourself, make sure it's at least 99.9%. You don't need to be any more pure than that. And you don't want to use silver coins unless you are absolutely certain that it is a pure silver coin and not just junk silver that has other alloys and stuff in it. As long as it's 99.9% pure, that is all that you need. And everything you need is there, Queso. Just give me a holler, call me, text me, get on the chat room, email me if you have any questions, and we'll get you through that. The more of you that stay healthy because of this information, the less threat you are to me and my family, is the way I see it. So I'm trying desperately to get this stuff out and get people to take in this silver. I've wished many times that I talk about this stuff, and I feel like I'm not making it believable enough because it is so absolutely flabbergasting what this stuff will do, that I don't feel that I can express it in such a way as to make you believe. I've always wished that I could plug myself into something and just download everything I know about silver into other people's minds and see, witness the things that I have seen it do and the stories that I've heard other people tell me of the people that we've turned on to this. I know we've turned, not counting at all the radio show. I'm talking about just email list and the shows we've gone to and stuff. I'll guarantee you we have turned on at least 1,000 people to this stuff. And a lot of people are starting to use it now. The information is becoming more. But there are, and let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you for sure that there are lots and lots of people out there that will lead you astray, and they're in it for the money. You're going to be paying $200, $300, $400, $500. I think, Amy, what was that one you saw that time? Colloidal silver? Generator? Yeah. Amy saw one in there for $700. Now, listen to me. Watch my lips. There is no generator or anything that you can buy that's going to make any silver any better than what you can make it with that information that's on that free website right there. We sell our generators for $59.95, and they come with everything that you need except distilled water. You do not need to spend $700 or $200 or even $100 to get this for when you make these things, of course, we make them a little nicer. We put them, you're going to find out you've got the materials that's in that deal. If you make it exactly like I've got it on there, you've got probably, if you buy good quality batteries, you know, Duracells or something like that, you're going to have, I don't know, $15 into that, but you're doing everything very expediently. And, you know, we put it in a nice plastic case and plug in and a jack and the book and the silver and all that kind of stuff to go with it. But you can do it all yourself right there. You buy some silver wherever you get it. You're probably got, with the cost of your silver, you're going to have $25 or so in the whole setup there. So there is no excuse that you shouldn't be able to witness the absolute miracle of colloidal silver. And I saw somebody here, Smoky Mountain Prepper, you too. If you've never used it, on it, I swear, call me. You'll get a hold of me on the chat. Send me a whatever. Get a hold of me. And I will help you get through this. If you want to make your own, that's cool. I will help you do that. I just want you to take it. Rights at risk, talking about DE. Who did I see up here? Oh, 007 had talking about diatomaceous earth. And that is something, those two things right there I take religiously. And I promise you that both of them are lifesavers, literally. Now, Queso, what are you talking about there? What's interesting about the militia that was different than the guard? I missed something somewhere here. I don't know what you're talking about. I'll catch up here in a little bit. Okay. Well, we breezed right past that break, so I'm going to breeze right over here and take a break. Matter of fact, I might even just go in there and take my silver right now. I think that's a good idea.
I just hate stupid people.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evening at 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rotten command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Shotgun blast, shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. The Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Shotgun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
Wow, that was quick. I didn't make it back in time. Sorry about that. Real quick, I know this is going to be a little bit boring to some of you that's been here, been with me for a while, but we've got several new people that haven't been through this, so I just need to go over it real quick. I've talked about the effectiveness of silver when you make it. One of the best ways to store it, two things that we do for portability. We've got one sitting in the bathroom, one that I carry on trips all the time. I have, we put it in peroxide bottles. I just buy hydrogen peroxide, pour the peroxide out on the ground. Actually, we poured this last one. We bought four or five bottles of it and poured it in a Clorox bottle and put it away. We don't hardly ever use it for anything, but, you know, if it's there, we need it. I mean, if we need it, it's there. But peroxide bottles work great. They don't let any light in. They're the right kind of plastic. You want that to be HDPE. I forgot what the number was on it, but you know, good quality high density polyethylene. And I take a small peroxide bottle, probably I'm going to say 8 ounces maybe. And I've got it in my field gear, all my backpacks, hunting packs, you know, all of them. And I carry a bigger one that's probably, I'm going to guess it's probably 16 ounces, more than likely. And I put that when I go anywhere. When I go on a trip, I put that one in my bag, in my suitcase. And I think it's, I took off one time and headed to Vegas and forgot to bring any silver with me. So before I got out of Arizona, I stopped at an Indian jewelry place there and picked up some silver bezel, 99.9% pure silver. I stopped at Walmart and got 3 9-volt battery. This is that Expedient generator that you've got on there. That's exactly what I did. Well, no, it's not either because I use different wires. But I bought one of those, you know, $1.29 phone cords or whatever they are. Those little ones are about 6 foot long, you know, with the plug-in deal on each end of it. And I stripped out two pieces of that, about 14 inches long, and stripped the insulation off of it, took the silver and bent it over just a little bit, you know, 3/16 of an inch or so, and stuck that copper wire in there and mashed that down with a pair of pliers good on that copper, made a good connection on it, and did that on both ends of this, or both piece, one end of each of the silver strips. And then the other end, I fastened the 3 9-volt batteries together just like it shows you on that website. That's actually when I learned to do that. It made it a lot easier making my generators when I figured that out. Snapped them together, which left a positive and a negative unoccupied on each side, and I just took and kind of wadded that in, a little bit of that copper wire, and stuck it in there and mashed those connectors, those inserts on each side, mashed them down on the copper, and it worked fine. It worked just great. As a matter of fact, I've still somewhere in all my junk, I've got those wires still put together like that. And bought some distilled water while I was at Walmart, and made my own colloidal silver right there in the motel room. I won't be without it. When we go somewhere, I will not be without it. If I forget it, I will buy the stuff and make some. It's not hard to do. But I've gotten to a point where it's just part of, it's like putting my gun on in the mornings. You know, when I get my bag packed to go somewhere, that's one of the things that's on the checklist is the silver. And, you know, even if I forgot it now, that this was way back in 2004, I think. And even before that, I was religiously taking the silver. I just didn't have my truck decked out the way it is now and everything. But right now I've got a go bag in there that lives in the truck. It's there all the time. And there's a small bottle in it. I am absolutely, I can't stress enough how important this is to me and to my family. We've got some amazing stories to tell with that stuff. Doc, I don't know what all is going on with your son there now, but sure hoping that he gets everything squared away I know how it is. I'm going through some things like that with mine right now, and all we can do is love them and hope for the best and try to get him to do what's right. In your case, trying to get him to do what the doctor says. So that's all we can do for him. Yeah, 007, I think with new batteries for a quart, yeah, it's about 15 minutes after the batteries start to wear. If it takes any longer than actually, you know, 35 to 45 minutes in a quart, then it's time to change the batteries. We make it by the gallon now because we've got everybody in the family uses it, and we use it for things for the animals and everything else. So that's another thing about the silver. If you have animals, make sure that you get some of it to them. Put some in their water. Everything you have, put a little. Even if you what you can do, if you don't want to waste a bunch of it, even if you're like putting in a metal tank for a horse, you don't want to do that. You don't want it to get in contact with metal or galvanization or anything. So you can either isolate your horse from the water for a few hours and put a small bucket, you know, maybe a couple of gallons with a cup full of silver in it once in a while, especially if they're sick. You know, if you don't want to mess with that every day, if they come in contact with anything or have any symptoms or something like that, then start pumping some silver down them. Promise, absolutely promise you, that it will save you thousands and thousands of dollars in vet bills. Right, Swimmy, do you throw that batch away, or do you just change the batch? Oh no, you don't throw it away. If it just takes a long time to make it, it's still going to be fine. But you know, eventually the batteries are going to wear out. So that's how I know that the batteries are wearing down, when it takes about that long. If it takes much over a half an hour to make a quart, I'd say 40 minutes to make a quart, then you need to change your batteries. You can make with a new set of good quality batteries, not the ones you get at the dollar store, but decent quality batteries. You should be able to make enough silver for a family of four for at least 8 months, 6 to 8 months, I'd say. So if you want to make it real easy on yourself, then just change your batteries when you change your batteries in your smoke alarms. And it probably still has some life left in them, but you know what the heck, for $6 or whatever it is, go ahead and change them out. It's well worth it. When you think about the money that this stuff will save you, guys, it's nothing. If you change the batteries every week, it would mean nothing. I'm going to tell you all a story that a lot of you have heard already, but I know that Queso and Smoky Mountain Prepper and a few of the new ones there have not heard this, but I turned a guy on to this in Belen, New Mexico. And two or three months later, he invited me over for dinner, which nothing unusual. That's okay. We worked together, and that's fine. So I went over there after work, and we got done eating. We're talking about this, that, and the other thing. He says, "Come here, I want to show you something." And he sets his 13-gallon, or what do you call it, the Taugus, 13-gallon, the tall trash can, set it up on the counter under the edge of the cabinet, opened the door, and just reached in and raked probably 25 bottles of crap in the trash can. All manner of he said, this medicine counteracts the effects of that one, and this does that for me, and I have to take this to keep that from do whatever. And he said, since I've been taking that silver, he said, I haven't needed any of that stuff. And that was probably one of the two or three most exciting testimonies that we had of that stuff. But let's see. Rights at Risk, he said, yours always takes 45 minutes. Well, how much are you making at a time? Are you making a quart? If you're making a quart with new batteries, yeah, dramatic, the Tinker. That sounds good. That's probably the word I was looking for. If you're making a quart and it takes 45 minutes, there's something wrong. I don't know what you're doing. It shouldn't take, with new batteries, it shouldn't take you more than 20 to 25 minutes to make a quart. If it's taking 45 minutes, I don't know what's wrong with there. But if the silver's working for you and it's doing what it's supposed to do, then, you know, don't worry about it. How do you tell when it's done? You can take a laser in through there, but you really don't need to do that. I mean, that's an interesting little test, and it's fun to do, but it's unnecessary. Basically, you're just when the water gets to a point where you can't clearly see your hand on the other side, you don't want it to be so dark that you can't see anything over there. But when the water gets cloudy enough, I don't care what color it is, it doesn't matter. If you have done everything correctly, if you're using distilled water, not reverse osmosis, not purified, not nothing, distilled water, period. That is your only option. If you're using the right water and at least 99.9% pure silver and the right voltage, then once that water starts to change color and you look through and your hand's a little bit unclear, a little fuzzy on the other side, it's plenty good enough. If you do it a little bit less, a little bit more, it is not rocket science. I don't care what the people tell you. Guys, I've been doing this. I'm taking it every day for 15 years. And don't let these people scare you with all the stories about colloidal silver. That's crap. My kids have all been on it since they were born. My youngest especially was on it 15 minutes after we got her home from the hospital. She was on colloidal silver. The two older ones were, two of them were about, one of them was probably, one of them was probably 3 years old, another one was 2 years old, and the other one was probably 6 months or so, something like that, when they started. And the youngest one started on it when she was, 2 hours old or whatever it was. And so don't get excited about some of the stories that you tell. People will tell you, and they'll try to sell you anything. Don't fall for it. It's just not that complicated. It's simple to do. It's safe. As long as I'll back that up with for everything I'm worth, which ain't a hell of a lot. But I'll back it up to the hilt if you do it exactly like I tell you. If you alter from it one iota, you're on your own. But if you do it like I do it, I'll back it up with everything I've got. It's great stuff. But it's simple. Just don't change anything, man. Distilled water, period. That's your option. Pure silver, period. That's your option. Not sterling silver. Not silver coins that have copper and zinc and everything else in it. 99.9% pure silver. Not 99.6, not 90%, not nothing. Just 99.9 or better. And that's it. And don't put it in metal pans. Don't store it in metal cans. Don't make it in a metal deal. Don't stir it with a metal spoon. Stir it with a plastic spoon if you feel the need to stir it for something. Don't store it near fans, motors, anything that has a magnetic field. Don't store it in a clear container in the light. And that's all there is. Very simple rules. If you follow those things, I can absolutely assure you that you will experience a better quality of life. It's that important to me, and I mean that. You will experience a different quality of life when you start taking silver all the time, every day. And with this stuff going on right now, guys, I'm telling you what, with all this Ebola stuff, hold on just a second, guys. Good night, sweetie. Love you. With this Ebola coming in, all these other diseases and stuff that these illegal aliens are bringing across and all that, if you don't take it, you're freaking nuts. You're crazy. 007, when you put that, yeah, you mix that stuff with a little bit of Vaseline and put it on burns, it is amazing. It's amazing on burns without the Vaseline, but the Vaseline keeps it softened up a little bit, and it works good. It keeps that silver stuck on there. But one of the things that silver does is it helps regenerate tissue. It's extraordinary on burns. And when you put it on deep cuts and stuff, it heals the things up and makes your scarring much less than it would be without it. Promise you. It's see, we've got a bunch of people that's probably getting damn tired of me talking about this because everybody on the chat room, with the exception of a few of you there, have been through these stories before, but it's very important to me right now, especially right now with these other threats of these viruses and bacteria and everything coming in. We have cured, not made better. We have, literally almost overnight cured parvo, flu. Food poisoning, I don't know what, a pink eye, chicken pox. It's, you can, and especially on cuts and scrapes and burns and stuff like that. Athlete's foot, dandruff, huh? Yeah, let me tell you a story about my middle oldest daughter. She got bit by, and some of you older timers may not even have heard this story, but she worked at a vet clinic for a while, and they had, somebody brought a cat in, and evidently the cat was something's absolutely wrong with it, and they opened the box a little bit, and the cat just jumped out and grabbed Claire by the I think it was a thumb, wasn't it, Amy? Yeah, bitter between that soft part between her thumb and her forefinger. 007 saying hi, by the way. And she said hello. And there was instant infection. And it was bad. It was, when you get something like that, I don't know what was wrong with this cat. But anyway, Claire is exceedingly anti- anything that the doctor wants to give you, except a sucker when you go up to the counter. But this thing got real bad. They went to this. She went to this care center there, emergency care center, and they said, "Oh, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. We're going to give you these shots and all that." And she refused all of it. And they got downright hateful with her, and said, "Yeah, you won't now. You're gonna wish you'd done that when you come back and see me in a couple of weeks when you have lockjaw." and everything, and they made her sign these waivers to get out of the building and everything else because they knew how bad this stuff was. And she came home, and we injected silver into her hand, into the wounds itself, and all around it. It burns when you inject it. Let me rephrase that just a little. It burns like hell when you inject it. But I have injected it numerous times in myself. I've injected it in dogs. I've injected it in horses, and I injected it in Claire. I have injected in my middle youngest daughter. I don't know. I've got five girls. It's hard to tell, man. But this infection was, and that's Claire's choice. I didn't encourage her to stay home. Matter of fact, as infected as this thing got, I probably would have encouraged her to go get something else done with it. But she wouldn't hear of it. She would not for anything have gone to the doctor with that. And so we injected that. What do we do it, Amy? 3-4 times a day? And I know she was hurting. She would literally, you know, break down in tears. It was hard for her. But it was it cured her. She never went to the doctor. She never got a tetanus shot. She never did nothing. We didn't do anything with it. Towards the end, I think she started taking what was that kind of oil you gave her? Melaleuca and frankincense oil on there. And she never did anything else to it, and it completely cured her. She never had anything else about it. Drumjaw mentioned a story about my second to the youngest daughter, who when they were it was about the time Kelly was born. And my next oldest daughter was 6 or 8 months old. And she was toddling around out there by the low end of the teeter-totter, and one of the other kids, not purposely, not maliciously, just not, you know, just one of those things that happened, went and grabbed the teeter-totter, the other end of the board, and pulled it down, and it come right up under Carla's chin. And she, for all intents and purposes, bit her tongue off. There was about a quarter of an inch or less of meat on each side of the tooth marks, and the teeth met in the middle. The cut went all the way through. You could see when we rinsed that out. You could see the bottom of her mouth through her tongue. That's how bad it was. This was not a funny deal. So Kathy rushed her off to the hospital. And got there, and they said, we're going to have to fly her to Albuquerque. There's nobody here that is qualified to do that kind of suturing on a toddler and this, that, and the other. And she called me and told me about it, and I said, well, just bring her home. And so this was a giant. We hadn't been doing silver for more than, let's see. We hadn't been doing it for, I don't even think, for a year. A few months. And I had learned so much about it during that time. And you talk about a leap of faith. This was, if I was wrong, do you know what this would have cost me? My daughter would have a speech impediment. It would have been a very, very bad thing. So I'm telling you, I relied on my gut feeling with this. And it paid off. We washed that out with silver and kept her on clear liquids. We washed that out, four, five, six times a day and gave her nothing but clear liquids. I mean, it was chicken noodle soup without the chicken and the noodles. You know, it was just chicken broth and water was all we let her have. And I don't remember the exact amount of days it was, but by the time 10 days had gone by, it was nothing left but a white line. It was grown together, and she was back to eating regular food. and in 3 months, you could hardly even tell at all where it ever was. She has no speech problems. She has no issues with it at all. If she were to stick her tongue out at you and hold it out and let you look at it, you would not be able to tell unless I pointed it out where it was at. It's completely gone. You can, knowing what to look for, you can see it a little bit. But, guys, I'm going to tell you, after that story right there and a couple of others that we experienced while we were learning with this stuff, I can't tell you how strong my testimony is on silver. It is amazing stuff. And again, with what's going on in this world right now, you guys need to, if you're not doing it now, as many times as you've heard me tell these stories, I don't know what else to do. I can't lead you around by the hand and make you do it. So, but everybody that we've ever turned on to this, then diatomaceous earth also, not a single person has ever said that it hasn't worked for them. Most people have some of the most amazing stories, just like I told you about Carla. We've injected it into 3 different dogs that had parvo. 2 of them were very advanced. The dogs were practically dead, and injected silver into them. The first one was completely cured in 28 hours. The other one, it took about 48 hours. Old dog. The third one, never. When it started to see the symptoms, it was the first dog's sister. When it started to see the symptoms come, it was injected right away, and it never really saw the light of day. The dog was never down to start with it. I ought to write a book on all the different things that I've seen silver do, but if I did, it'd have to be in the fiction section, because nobody would believe a damn word of it. But I can prove it to you. And I can prove that I can talk about this stuff so long that it's already time for another break. Jeez, old Pete, you got to be kidding me. But we'll do it anyway. We'll take a little break here. Stand by.
I'll be back.
It cuts both ways.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there with her yet if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And a cousin was dumb. The only father was a bloody one. So the big man sleeps. And he was talking about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
The best cut is the deepest. Maybe I know the best cut is the deepest.
Oh, I have all my fingers. The knife goes chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my fingers, blood will soon come out. But all the same, I play this game, because that's what it's all about.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And
good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
From command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Welcome back to the shooting bench.
Well, you didn't get dressed up for nothing.
All right, we're back here. Let me see. I'm trying to put a trying to put a picture in here for you. And I don't know if it's going to work, but it's. Let me know if that comes up right there. Someone said, I think it was Smoky Mountain Prepper. Let me find out here. Yeah. How about your teeth and rinse? Well. Obviously, Smoky Mountain Prepper, I mean, I shouldn't say obviously. I didn't mean that to sound rude. But certainly, I don't just drink the silver. I wash it around my mouth. I hold it in my mouth for a little while. I gargle with it. If I feel like I've got something coming on or I've been exposed to something, I'll hold it in my mouth with my tongue up. So I'm basically got the stuff resting in the bottom of my mouth under my tongue for 2 or 3 minutes. And I rinse my teeth, try to hold it in my mouth for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes when I do, before swallowing it. And certainly I believe that it cuts down, possibly eliminates, I don't know, tooth decay. So I'm just, that's speculation. I don't know. I've never really done of course, I haven't been to the dentist and had any filling for I don't know how long, but not since I've been taking silver, but I don't know that that's the reason for it. Let's see. Doc looks like he does the same thing. And, yeah, you could put it in a nebulizer. Isn't that what you call them? And put a little bit of silver in there with your water. Put a, if the thing holds like a quart of water, put a, you know, a tablespoon or so of silver in there with it. Or more. It doesn't hurt a thing. And let that silver go out into the air and you breathe it and get it into your lungs. Dude. vaporizer, yeah. Is that not a nebulizer? Oh, I thought that was an inhaler. Oh, anyway, vaporizer, whatever you call it. One you set in the room and put mist in the room for you to breathe. It's amazing stuff when you have something, you know, bronchitis, something settling in your lungs, pneumonia, stuff like that. Breathe silver. Put it in the room that you, where you sleep, and breathe it. If you don't have one of those, the next thing is to do things like we used to do when I was a kid. Put some in a boiling pan of water, put a towel over your head, put your face over it, and breathe the steam coming off of that water. There'll be silver in it. And I don't know what else to tell you. I keep getting reminded here of things when I try to get off the subject here. Somebody reminds me of something else that we've done for it. Drum Jaw, there is no question, absolutely no question in my mind that it would at least help with lung and throat cancer, any type of cancer. If you just get it in contact with it, there is no question that it would at least help. Whether it would cure it or not, I don't know. But I have no question that it would help. Okay, the picture, I don't know, I'll have to figure out another way to put that picture on there, but anyway. I've never tried that, Doc. I've never just put it in a spray bottle and tried to just spray it right in your nose. I've never thought about that, man. Okay, Minnie, that's what Amy said a while ago. It goes in your mouth. I don't know the difference between the, but a humidifier or a vaporizer, that's what I was thinking about. So obviously I don't know what a nebulizer is, but it sounded like a great word at the time. So okay, let me go and, yeah, there you go, right? So that's probably the same. Any way you can get the stuff. I've injected it in myself, I don't know how many times. I've injected it into my arm where I had an extreme laceration there one time, and I injected it into that I probably put 6 or 8 initial injections all the way around it when I first started. I've injected it when I had MRSA in my foot. I have pictures of that, and it is ugly. But or not my foot, my hand. Well, actually my foot too. When I taught that Suarez class in New Mexico, I had it in my foot so bad I couldn't hardly walk, and I cured it with silver. I never went to the doctor with that. And I've got pictures of my hand when it had MRSA come out, and it was awful. But silver, all I did was put silver, and I took nothing else, and it cured it. There was warts. If you have a wart come up, inject silver. Yes, ma'am, it hurts. If you shoot it right into the wart. If you can't stand the pain of doing that, it stings. It's not earth shattering, but it stings. If you can't stand that, we'll just take a bath or soak it in water, get it good and soft, kind of scrape the top off of it where it's kind of soft, and get a you know, put silver directly on it, soak the pad of a Band-Aid, and put it on there, or soak a little piece of a cotton ball and put it on there and hold it down with a soaked Band-Aid. And that wart, I promise, will go away. And it will never come back, and it will not leave a scar. At least it hasn't on me. I've injected it into plantar's warts in the bottom of your foot. And I thought that there was a... I never had a plantar's wart before. I don't know what the hell it was. I went to the doctor and told him I thought it was a bone spur or something, because it was kind of... It hurt to walk. And I Vaseline with silver, I guess if the silver was a strong enough concentration in there, it might work just as well on a wart. I don't know. I've never tried that. I'm sure it would help if it didn't completely do it. I don't know. That's just something you'll have to try. But in the plantar's warts, I've done that, well, just once. I had one. I went to the doctor and see what it was. He told me, and I said, okay, thanks. That's all I need. Well, don't you want to... something for it? I said, nope, I got something for it, and it'll be just fine. Let me give you a little word of warning right here. Don't miss. If you take and stick that needle in there, because you can't see the planter's wart, you can just kind of feel it in there. I actually did have a little bit of a white spot that you could see coming out there. I got a little bit deep one night and shot it right into that tendon. I guess it's the plantar's tendon or whatever it is. I don't know what terms to put this in exactly that I can say on the radio, but if you've ever seen a 250-pound man go straight up and stick his head in the ceiling and not be able to get himself out, it's on account he shot silver directly into that tendon or that nerve, whatever it is there. It was not a good day for me. It hurt so bad. I mean, it was very bad thing. So I warned you, if you ever do that and you miss, you're gonna know it. But I did that for 8 days, and it went completely away. It was that was 11 years ago, and it's never come back. So you can take that for what it's worth. Okay, hopefully we won't get any more newbies here for a while. I know you guys, you old timers, probably wasted 2 hours of your time here listening to me talk about silver again. But I think it at this point in our history, in our lives, that you guys are not on it. You need to think about it real, real hard. And if you have any concerns at all, give me a holler. Most of your questions should be answered in that link that I put up above there to go to that forum. And the entire book that we sell with our kits is printed there for you to get for free. You don't have to spend a dime. And they all come with lifetime customer service. Call me or get on the chat room here or something and give me a holler. Facebook, I mean, always so easy to find there. So, all right, I'm going to scoot on out of here a couple minutes early. Hope you all don't mind. If you do mind, I'm going to do it anyway. But I got to get out of here. Got a few things to take care of here before bedtime. So, anyway, be sure, and if you're in or around or near California and you're mid around Sacramento, Northern California somewhere, we have a Glock Armorers class coming up on the 18th of October, and it's about half price, guys. We have a hell of a deal going on there. It's less for you to do that than it would be if you were to come to the ranch and take it directly at the ranch. And the following day, we're going to have an 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar, also right at half price. And that'll be held in Lincoln, California. And this is a one-time deal. We're not going to be doing this again. So if you get a chance, come on over and check it out. All right, I'm going to get out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. I appreciate you joining me and hanging in there while we rehash a lot of old material here. And good night. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's free.